There's a sure sign the sailing season's winding down. Marlin lets me know. All season she's been so playful, frolicsome and kittenish. But now she's lumbering along, wallowing low down on her marks. That's because there's more food in my boat than there is in my house. And that means one thing. It's time to call it a day. It's a time of quiet reflection and dread, because that means I'm going to have to spend the next 3 months eating boat food. I never touch the stuff when I'm afloat, but I just can't help buying it. There's something about sailing that changes your appetites. It's like when you're in bed sick with flu. You want your mummy to read you a story and you crave comfort food. The boat equivalent is discomfort food. For some reason I buy stuff I'd never have in my cupboards at home, except that they're now full of it. There's weird-shaped tins with missing keys from Argentina, flat, round pie tins, bought simply because they don't roll around, and a lot of Rush Street ones without labels that just sound strangely alive when you shake them. We sailors like a bargain, so most of it comes from pound shop bargain bins, where everything is still a pound, but it feels even cheaper. Or from dusty, musty, mildewed corner shops that smell like a wet locker and so are completely irresistible to your average cruising type. The shop's been closing down ever since the bypass didn't come to town in 1972, and on the shelf, just to tempt you, is a lone orphan tin with a compressed stalagmite stack of price tickers on top. Peel them back and it'll take you on a nostalgic journey back to the age of black and white TV. The bottom price label could well be pre-decimal. If the print is too indistinct, carbon dating will reveal its age. Strictly speaking, explosives should be handed over to the Coast Guard, but to cordon bleu cruisers, they are prized delicacies, trophy foods that are almost too good to eat. And just to think, the RYA are always going on about how safe sailing is. Every time I go to my boat, there's some kind of nautical squirrel-like hoarding impulse that makes me stock up on everything. It's just common sense, really, because as the science of navigation is only in its infancy, you never know how long you're going to be out there. If you set off for Brightlingsea, which is a passage of 13 miles from Stone, for example, and it all goes pear-shaped, you could end up spending weeks at sea and make landfall somewhere truly primitive like Burnham-on-Crouch, where they eat people. And that's why it's always best to have a few extra ship stores. And I've got a lot. Because I don't make lists, they're for old people. I spend all season loading up my boat with the exact same stuff I've already got on board. In certain segments, tinned mandarins for example, I've cornered a considerable portion of the world market. Now, as I've got a sailfish, people feel sorry for me and are forever inviting me aboard their boats for some proper food. The thought strikes me with horror because boats turn ordinary decent cooks, and men in particular, into experimental nouvelle nutters. Last season I was ambling past a Halberg Rassi when I heard a hideous retching followed by the whir of the electric heads and a chap cheerily calling below, "Darling, don't you think the pineapple chunks and onion mince work rather well together?" The invention of these galley gourmets knows no bounds. But the ones you really have to worry about are the ones who invite you to join them for some humble fare. Ask what it is and they'll glint ever so casual, "Oh, nothing special, just a little old something I've rattled up." Such false modesty masks the mad ambition of a Michelin star-crazed maniac. Be very aware, because I can't tell you the number of times I've been offered diesel-basted bladder of faggot, swarfiga-glazed possum, compote of spleen, malaise of pork, fatigue of lamb, or desolation of soul, followed by the ever-so-predictable lemon surprise, which, as always, turned out to be tripe and pickled sorbet yet again. A favourite among hardcore liverboards is cockroach and leaky soup. Anyway, all of this means that dining invitations are to be resisted as strenuously as possible, and last season I struck on a brainwave that has saved me from countless culinary calamities. As soon as I arrive anywhere, I hang a laminated sign in Marlin's window that says, "Just eaten." That usually does the trick. But it's not just what you eat, it's the age that matters just as much. If only Chandlers sold date-expired food the way they do with flares and anti-fouling, they'd clean up. It would be, in effect, a nautical convenience food because it would save sailors the trouble of maturing it in the bilges for several years until the use-by date is safely passed. Sailors, as we all know, are a superstitious bunch, and it's generally thought unlucky to have on board any items that are in date. My old pal Julian, for example, uses charts etched on bark by ancient lost tribes of pygmies. Once, when I was groping around in his bilges, I came across a bulging tin of something that looked fit to explode. As I went to throw it out, he shouted, "Don't! It's my friend! We've been to the Arctic together!" In fact, he's got vintage claret younger than most of his beloved tins. Although it's difficult to tell their precise age, as the Roman numerals of the sell-by dates have rubbed off. And of course, if you dare mention the rust, he'll just blurt, "Don't be foolish, iron's good for you!" But there's one tin of boat food in my kitchen cupboard that I dare not tackle. It's a long-expired can of Alfabetti spaghetti. Now that could spell disaster.